Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. I'm going to do this. I guarantee you somebody's going to do a screen capture of it, and they're going to go, see, Hoggard's in the Illuminati. Yeah, we caught him, man. He's flashing signs to his brethren, Illuminati brothers. You'll see people do make signs like that, okay? There is a picture of Anton LaVey, who was the head minister of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, and he is posing, and he has his hand like that, all right? And it's supposed to show the double horns and so on. I think that is part of the false prophet having two horns like a lamb. You'll see that. Rock and roll singers will do that and so on. People will do that. Yeah, rock and roll, man. And they'll flash that sign. And to me, this is kind of what I see in that. I see the two horns of the lamb. And I see there is a spirit of falsehood that is, we know it's in Anton LaVey, who wrote the Satanic Bible. A lot of rock and roll songs, most rock and roll songs, okay, practically all rock and roll songs, had this false idea, this false teaching, this false doctrine. And that's who the false prophet represents. His job is to bring everybody to worship the beast. Now, the real prophets of God, God would lead them through the Holy Spirit. The Bible talked about the Spirit of Christ being in them. And they would lead people to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So the false prophet, his job is to cause them to worship the beast or the Antichrist. There is a spirit that is part of that. And that spirit is identified in the Bible. Paul talks about in the last days they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every rock song, every country song, every rap song, every movie, commercial, TV show, book, comic book, it doesn't matter. Everything that comes out that is trying to get across this mystery doctrine or this mystery idea is being led by a spirit that will go into the minds and the hearts and the pens and the mouths of the people who speak or who sing or who direct these films or whatever it is. But that spirit is there. I remember the first time I really caught this was early on doing study of prophecy in the Bible, and I came upon the idea of what thorns represented. And thorns, you know, Christ said a crown of thorns. Thorns were the curse that God cursed the ground with. Paul talks about a thorn being a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was a thorn in his flesh. And I studied thorns. Then it dawned on me when the Omen movie came out, 1960, I don't remember when it was. But anyway, when that first movie came out, The Omen, they named the little Antichrist boy Thorn, Damien Thorn. That was his last name. And I went, stop right here. Whoever wrote the script for this movie knew exactly what they were doing. They were very well trained and well versed in the occult themes. Or there was a spirit that just flowed out and this is what you write. A lot of rock songs are written that way. The guys will just say, man, I just start writing these lyrics, and all of a sudden, wham, there was this cool song. Stairway to Heaven was one of those. It was written by spirits, no doubt in my mind about it. And so anyway, let's look at that spirit. Let's see how it's identified in the Scripture. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 22. There's a story here about how God uses these lying spirits or these false spirits to accomplish his will. People get the idea that devils and the devil are outside of God's command and authority. They're rebellious and they won't do what God tells them to do. I don't really believe that. I think there are evil angels. I think there are lying spirits. And I think that God either withholds them or just lets them go do what they're going to do. Sort of like a beast, sort of like a bear. you keep a bear in a cage because you don't want it to eat everybody as they walk by. If you want the bear to eat people, all you got to do is let them loose. They're going to do what they do. And it's the same way with these spirits. 1 Kings 22. The king of Israel, this is old Ahab. The king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Think of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Think of the fourth kingdom. Think of another gospel. That's the number four. Think of earth, air, fire, and water. Okay, think of when you see that 400 there, think of that. About 400 men. And said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. They were lying out their teeth, all 400 of them. Let me just say this. We're going to see one here, Micaiah, who goes against 400. Don't buy into the notion that if everybody believes a certain thing, then it must be right. Don't buy into that. Now, I'm not saying that in order for it to be right, only one or two people have to know about it. I'm not saying that either. Okay? But popular Christianity, mainstream Christianity, is going bad. Don't go with it. All right? Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And isn't that exactly how a lot of people sound when you say, you know, I go to a good Bible-believing church and pastor so-and-so, and somebody says, I hate that guy. He says I can't go dancing and bar-hopping on Friday night. He says it's wrong for me and my girlfriend to be together. I hate that guy. He only preaches that hard stuff. Now, I go down here to Covenant Life Fellowship, and I love the music, and they've got coffee, and we can dress in however we want to. And they even did a series last month on sex and romance. And, oh, yeah, we like that church. I don't like your other church. I hate that church. That's right here. Everything's right here in the Bible. Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chaanah made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians, until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good, or else. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king. The king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now, why did Micaiah first start out going, Yeah, go ahead. You know, I'm sure it's going to be okay. Go ahead and take it. I don't know. Maybe it was sarcasm here. I mean, I don't understand this little piece of the story here. What I do understand is what follows. Because Ahab apparently picked up on Micaiah's sarcasm. Micaiah, I can detect your sarcasm. My cast says, well, you should. I'm laying it on pretty thick. And so he says, how many times am I going to adjure you that you tell me nothing but what's true? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. This is what Micaiah now sees. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith, or how will you persuade him? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth, and do so. If I were to make a comparison here, think of the King James as Micaiah, that tells the truth. And it's one Bible among 400 Bibles, maybe give or take, that don't tell the truth, that tell people what they want to hear. Let's say there's one preacher in town that preaches the old book, and there's 400 other churches in that town, and everybody knows what church to go to. They don't go to this church. They're going to go to any of these other churches over here because the music and because the hipster doofus up on the stage is cool. He's got hair gel in his hair. He's talking about how you can have better sex if you're a Christian and all this stuff. That's what they're going to follow. Nothing against hair gel, by the way. I just don't use it. But anyway, you get the idea. Just because one person says it and 400 say the opposite, that doesn't make the one person wrong, doesn't make the 400 wrong. It's where did they get it from? These got it from a lying spirit. That spirit went into their mouth and they prophesied what that spirit told them to prophesy of. The opposite, of course, is God's word. We are required as men of God to stand and proclaim what this book says, to give the sense and the meaning of it, like who was it? Ezra the scribe and those that were with him on the day they came back from Babylon. They read the law, but then they gave the sense and the meaning of the law. So it caused them to understand the law. This is how it is. You've been in Babylon all your life. You know how this is. Let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you what we did. Let me tell you how we used to do it in the old days. This is what the law requires. Preaching like that is still around, but it's few and far between. And what you see now with all the seminars, the dirty seminars churches are doing, and all the paradigm shifts that they're talking about, and all the new transformations it's taking place everywhere. There is a lying spirit inside of the mouth of these people, and they're telling people lies. And it's not the truth of the Word of God. So he said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Now here's the purpose. God has a purpose even in the lying spirits. God's purpose for Ahab was that Ahab be on this, in this chariot, at this place, on that day. That's where God wanted him. Why? Because that's the same place that they lifted Naboth up on high and hung him in front of everybody. And the man of God said, Ahab, the place that Naboth died, dogs will be licking up your blood. I promise you. And so God brought it about to where God knew that the lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets would cause Ahab to believe that he should go out to battle, and he goes out to battle and he dies. And they bring his chariot to this place, and they're hosing the water, or they're washing down the blood out of the chariot, and here come the dogs lapping it up. Exactly the way the Word of God said, the way the man of God said. And so the false prophet of Revelation 13 also has, God has a purpose for him being the way he is. God made him. God raised him up. This is not somebody like Billy Graham who just over the years went worse and worse and worse into heresy. And God's going, oh, Billy, what am I going to do? I had such good hopes for you. Why aren't you preaching what I want you to preach, Billy? Billy, please. That's not God. Mm-mm. God knew about it. God foreknew it. People are led astray because of the blindness and the hardness of their own impenitent heart. And God works it all out for His will and for His glory. No one adds to that, and no one takes it away. So just as God used this spirit in the mouth of those prophets to prophesy falsely to Ahab to cause him to be killed in the battle the next day, so this false prophet is raised up, and it has a reason, it has a function, it has a purpose. That purpose is to deceive them that dwell on the earth, cause them to make an image, bow before the image, and to receive the mark. Okay, that's the purpose of it. Now, we're going to get into Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Matthew. We still got a lot of notes here to go through. And I haven't really gotten into the symbolism of the false prophet and so on. But let's look at, I call this part, the real prophets speak against the false prophets. All right? You know how I know they're the real prophets? They're in my sure word of prophecy. They're in my Bible. Isaiah 28. Here's what the real prophets say about the false prophets. And if it's said of the false prophets, I would assume that it's speaking also of the false prophet. He's like the fruition of everything these false prophets are. Look at it like this. There are bishops over churches here in this world, and yet we only are small, tiny representatives of the great bishop, Jesus Christ. There were many prophets in the Old Testament days. Now God has spoken to us by His Son, the prophet, capital P. There were judges in the Old Testament. Christ is the judge, capital J. There are angels that are ministering angels, and yet there is the angel of the Lord, the capital A angel that Moses talked about, that God said would lead His people into the promised land. And Jesus is, don't misunderstand me on this one. Jesus is God. That's it. But here's what I'm trying to show you. All these offices that are in the Bible, such as apostle, prophet, priest, king, angel or messenger, all of these offices in the Bible are held by Christ, who is at the top of it all. He is the chief apostle, He's the chief bishop, He's the chief shepherd, He is the prophet, He is the king, and He is the angel of the Lord. I hope that makes sense, because I've read some comments, people are saying, he says Jesus is an angel, it's like the Jehovah's Witness, man. No. I mean, I understand where that's coming from. But I'm telling you, in no uncertain terms, Jesus is God Almighty, and He is at the chief office of every office that you see in the Bible. I hope that makes sense. So then likewise, the beast, the false prophet, if you want to study beasts, go study beasts in the Bible. And when you get to the beast of Revelation 13, he's the epitome of all of that. We get to the false prophet in Revelation 13. If you want to understand him more, go and look at all the false prophets from the beginning all the way to now. You can see how this false prophet is going to be realized. All right? Isaiah 28:7. But they also have erred through wine, that's Babylon's drink of choice, and through strong drink are out of the way. So, number one, Benny Hinn, Rodney Howard Brown, Kenneth Copeland, all of these, Kenneth Hagin, All of these people who talk about being drunk in the Spirit, that's them. They err through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The way is Jesus. The way is the Word of God. They're out of the way. They got drunk and couldn't walk a straight line. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Walk the straight and narrow. Yeah, walk the straight and narrow. Oh, my goodness. These people, I just can't. I had a guy tell me, well, Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club, I was teaching about the Da Vinci Code and the Holy Grail and how God had a cup of Babylon, a cup of drunkenness, and I was talking about drunk this and drunk that. And Stan tells me, he said, yeah, me and my wife were talking, and my wife said, it's obvious he's never been drunk in the Holy Spirit. And Stan said, yeah, I don't think he has. Want to be? And I said, no way. No way. And I'm just going, I don't think I, yeah, this Stan Johnson thing, drunk in the Spirit. Mm-mm, we're not doing that. He wanted to give me an impartation. I wouldn't let him. But anybody that has been drunk physically, the characteristics are the same spiritually. Okay, this is what the real prophets are saying about the. So I can just imagine now the false prophet is leading everybody with a and giving them a drunken spirit. They'll be crazy one of these days. They'll be drunk. They won't know that the lion's going to devour them. Isaiah 29:10, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. God, because they didn't want to know the truth, God said, fine, I'm going to close your eyes. And I want to take your preachers that you've been sending money to, I'm going to close their eyes too. I'm going to cause the spirit of deep slumber to fall upon them. And your prophets and your rulers and your seers, they won't be able to see anything. Isaiah 30:10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Why are there so many false prophets? Because there are so many people who pay them well. That's why. There are so many people out there who don't want the truth. They don't want, the King James ain't the Bible. They don't want this Bible. They don't want what it says. They don't want the truths that are in it. So they will hire and pay good money to a guy that will do nothing but lie to them because that's the demands of the people. And Rick Warren fell into it. Rick Warren fell into this. Rick Warren said, I went out to Orange County, California, where all the rich people live, and I asked them what it would take to get them into my church. What would I have to do for them? And you know what they told him? They told him, don't see anything. Don't prophesy unto us right things. And only speak smooth things to us. And Rick said, well, that's what I'll do then. That's what I'll do. Y'all come into my church. And they filled his church all right. They made him wealthy. But they're the ones that started it. How does this false prophet gain so much power and control over the people of the earth? They give it to him. They wanted it. I've read a lot of things and talked to a lot of people, about the New World Order and the Illuminati. And it just seems like everybody's got this idea that the Antichrist is going to beat everybody and drag them kicking and screaming under his dominion. I don't see that. What I see is the false prophet speaking smoothly to them and talking about the wonder miracle of this man who has died, he's now risen from the dead again. Let's go follow him. He's going to cure us. He's going to heal our diseases. He's going to make us wealthy. And people just fall for that stuff because the mouth of a strange woman, lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her lips are smoother than oil. And everybody's just going to go, oh yeah, let's worship that beast. Oh, I want to so bad. That's what's going to happen. Jeremiah 2:8, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. You know how to identify Baal? Do you know how to identify when a preacher in a church is actually preaching about Baal rather than Jesus? If they say things about Jesus that didn't come from this book, that's Baal. See how simple it is? It's either in the book or it's not Christ. period, the end. I mean, that's how it is. That's how you can tell. They say, where's the Lord? We're so spiritual now, we don't even need a Bible in our church. It's happening. Believe it or not, if you haven't been out there, it's happening. I have people telling us every week what's going on. And they're saying, Pastor, you're right. You're right. We're being told now that we have gotten to a level in our church with our meetings that we really don't even spend time preaching. God just comes in even without preaching and just takes over everybody, and everybody's just full of this Holy Ghost, and they're doing this stuff all over the place without the Bible, because that's what they said. Where's the Lord? We don't know where the Bible is. Jeremiah 5:13, the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. There's no word in them. The word of God's not in them. But they say they're preachers. They say they're prophets. They say they're apostles. They say that they have the fivefold ministry on them. They say all kinds of stuff. But they have no word in them. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Again, if it wasn't for the people who wanted these false prophets, there would be no false prophets. So I don't so much blame them as I do the greedy, rebellious, wicked, lascivious generation that wants them to tell them only nice and good things. Jeremiah 6:13, for from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They've given themselves over to covetousness. Well, bless God, if you'll just believe in faith that God will give you a new house, then your new house is on its way. You just proclaim it and release it in Jesus' name. And by the way, sow a seed of your faith, and that is your record before God, that you believe what He said and that you have proclaimed this miracle to come to you. If you'll sow a seed of $1,000 into our ministry, then God will give you this new house. Covetousness. Covetousness. It's lust. It's greed. It's preaching covetousness. You want that? God wants you to have it. You want more of that? You want 20 of those? God wants you to have 30 of those. I turned it over and I watched Copeland and Creflo Dollar talking one day about prosperity thinking and poverty thinking. And they said, bless God, if you get up one morning and put your bread in the toaster and the toaster don't turn on, you know, the old way says, well, we need to fix that. We need to do something with that. That's poverty thinking. That's poverty thinking that you don't have a new toaster coming to you. Go out and buy a new toaster. And you say, well, I don't have the money. Well, then you're still thinking poverty thinking. If you'll act in a positive way and spend the money, God will give you the money. I'm just going, that is insane for people to believe that, but people do. People believe it because down deep inside they're lusters. They're covetous. They're full of lust. And I don't care if it's a lust for things of this world or a lust of people in this world. They're going to preach their lusts no matter what. Why are so many preachers turning over now and allowing sodomy, fornication, and all of these things into their churches? Why are they doing that? Because they themselves are that, and they want to be able to come out openly and do it without having to hide it all the time. That's who they really are. Jeremiah 8:10, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Jeremiah 14:13, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And he says in verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. They're doing it. We're not talking about Buddhist monks. We're not talking about the imams of Muslim Islam. We're talking about people in churches pretending to be Christian pastors, preachers, evangelists, and teachers. They're pretending to be that. They prophesy in my name. Lies. But I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. You know how I know I didn't say anything to them? Because they didn't open up their Bible and read it. That's how easy that is. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of the heart. And again, how do you know that they're giving you a false vision? What chapter and verse was that? I mean, you're saying God said that, but I want to see it in here. Where is it in here? Well, not everything God does is in the Bible. Really? What verse is that one? Well, that's not in the Bible. That's what I mean. Not everything God does is in the Bible. Pretty slick, isn't it? Again, if it wasn't for the stupid people that bought into this stuff, the stupid preachers who preach it wouldn't be around. Nobody'd pay them. I don't mean to call you stupid, okay? Because I know some of you came out of that stuff, okay? I'll just say it was ignorance, and when you learn the truth, amen, praise the Lord. Jeremiah 14:15, Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, but by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. I would say, be careful of anybody who's over-exaggerating how good it's getting, and how God's miracle flow is just around the corner. I mean, I've listened to these guys, Rod Parsley, that these guys brag and boast that there is a time of harvest coming this year, and you ought to get ready for it. Boy, I mean, it's going to be the most amazing harvest that God's people have ever seen this year. That was in 2012. In 2013, they probably said the same thing. Get everybody hooked into it. 2014, same thing. 2015, now the same thing. It's always just around the corner now. I mean, it's coming. It's coming right now. I mean, the time of releasing is now. They won't tell you how bad it is. They won't tell you that our country's going down pretty fast, and things don't look very good. They won't tell you that, because that's negative thinking. Jeremiah 23, there's a lot in Jeremiah 23. Let's read it, okay? Jeremiah 23:11, for both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Now, verse 14, I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. What do you think God's going to do? If he considers them to be Sodom and Gomorrah, what is he going to do with them? Verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them, Revelation chapter 8, with wormwood. And that's the cause. They're the ones who caused the wormwood to come. And make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And again, how do you discern that? How do I know if he's preaching what God said or not? Read it. And if they say, this is thus saith the Lord, ask them, what chapter is that from? In fact, if you'll just give me the book that it's in, I'll go find it myself. But at least give me the chapter or the book that it's in, so I'll know whether or not what you're saying is true or not. And again, they'll say, well, not everything. God's given new revelations now. This is one of the fivefold ministries that God promised to be in the last days, the spirit of prophecy, and I'm prophesying right now. Bless God. And they won't tell you the truth. And how will you know? It's not in here. By the way, Revelation 22 settles that argument. No more words of the book of this prophecy. No more words added. None taken away, but no more added. Jeremiah 23:21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. I'd be very, very, very leery. In a lot of the non-denominational churches, what you have is a man or a woman who is self-ordained and self-called. No one called them. No one ordained them. The hands of the presbytery was not on them, conferring them biblical authority. They just raised themselves up and said, I think God's called me to be a prophet of these last days. It doesn't matter who says, no, we didn't. Mm-mm. Be careful. Verse 25, I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Did you hear that one? And I see on Facebook all the time, somebody's going, oh, God gave me a dream of what's going to happen to America this year. And boy, people get ready. And that was 2 years ago. They're lying through their teeth. When they say, I have dreamed, watch it. Be careful. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. You know what they're doing? You don't need to bring your Bible to church anymore. Okay? In fact, we're going to give you new Bible. We're going to give you new words. Mark Verkler on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural tells everybody to go in a trance and hear this devil on the inside of him. He don't call it devil. He calls it God. Listen to that spirit that's on the inside of you. And when you hear the words that you're hearing on the inside of you, write all those down. That's God's prophecy for you that day. They're telling you, you don't need this anymore. You don't need the Bible anymore. They're stealing the word away from God's people. Jeremiah 23, verse 31, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Verse 33, and when this people or prophet or priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? Let me start this one again. Verse 33. See, when I do the watchman, I can edit this out. Okay? And you never know it. And when this people or the prophet or priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. Verse 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. God will take care of them. God will get them for what they're doing. And I'm going to go ahead and finish it off here. We've still got a lot left here. Some out of the book of Jeremiah. Then we get into the untempered mortar in the book of Ezekiel. Go study that out. Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel 14, Ezekiel 22, places like that. Go study that untempered mortar and find out what that's all about. All right? You'll see that what these people are doing, yeah, they're building churches, all right. They're building big movements of God and denominations everywhere. But they won't hold up. They're going to fall one of these days, and their foundations are going to be discovered. It's going to find out that they weren't using this as the sure foundation. Which one are you using? Are you depending on your own intellect or your own words or your own covetousness? Or are you depending on the written Word of God? Anyway, God bless you. It's good to be with you today. Thank you for listening. Study to show thyself approved. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.